I'm going to do something this morning that I rarely do. It has to be a sure prompting from the Holy Spirit for me to do this. But I'm going to put off this morning's sermon, and then we're going to shuffle that to next Sunday. It's too late now. I left my notes over there. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. What am I doing right now? I'm taking it a moment at a time because I have no notes. I just feel like somebody really needs to hear what the Spirit would say this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. So, before I begin, let's pray again. Lord, you are good. And your grace is amazing. That's why we sing of your amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Lord, we thank you that we cannot earn our way to you. We thank you, Lord, that you require no works for salvation. That work was performed and paid for by Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. All of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. Lord, there is never any way that we could balance the scales. They are completely tipped against us. We come before you guilty. Guilty of sin and in need of grace and forgiveness. And we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, let us hear from you, from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, the apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He introduces himself this way: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul believed in the will of God. He believed that there was nothing beyond God's will and God's control. Had a bit of a controversy that broke out in a parachurch activity that I'm involved in, where someone made the statement that God is in control. And this upset a certain fella. He said he didn't like to say that God was in control because that seems to relieve us of responsibility. Of course, it doesn't relieve us of responsibility, does it? But it certainly comforts our heart in knowing that there is a God who is in control of all of the universe, and nothing is beyond his control. And if we don't believe that, why do we even pray? Because that a God that's not in control can't even help us, because there are things beyond his control. Paul believed that he was an apostle of the Lord by the will of God. Paul understood that when he was known as Saul of Tarsus and he was on this journey to persecute the church, he had this desire in his heart to get rid of everyone who professed the name of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God knocked him to the ground on the road to Damascus. He wasn't looking for God. He was not a seeker of God. He was standing opposed to God. He was standing opposed to God's work. He didn't want to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He wanted to get rid of everyone who declared that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. And then that Jesus knocked him off a horse on the road to Damascus. And struck him blind. And then saved him by his amazing grace. And so Paul refers to himself as an apostle, not by the will of Paul, but by the will of God. If it hadn't been for Jesus intervening in his life, he would still be a rebel. And he's writing to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verses 3 through 14, probably one of my favorite passages in all of the scripture. He lays out why these people are blessed. And I want you to see that this morning. And the first thing I want you to see is that God's people are blessed because we are chosen by grace. Look at what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If you are a believer, he has just described your life. No matter what type of predicament that you are in, no matter how much you may be struggling in the world, no matter how disease might have ravaged your body, no matter how your finances might be look or how your relationships are strained, here he says, blessed are you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You are blessed because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what he says then. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. It means that before God created that which we know as the world, that which we know as the universe, before you were ever a thought in anyone's mind except God, before any of us were a thought in anyone's mind except God, God placed his love upon us. In 1 John, John said, we love because he first loved us. Who loved God first? I mean, who loved first? You or God? God loved you first because he is infinite. There's no way you could have loved God first because he loved you before you were even in existence. Even before the foundation of the world, he set his love upon you so that your love for him is a fruit of his love for you. Paul says he chose us in him. Baptists tend to be afraid of terminology like that. That fellow that was scared of the statement, God is in control. You know what he said? It makes us sound like Calvinist. You know what I told him? Well, if a Calvinist simply means God is in control, then call me one with a capital C. Right? God is in control, and He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That means that before you ever breathed a breath of air, before you ever did a single thing, before you ever sucked your thumb or your mama changed your diaper, before she was even pregnant with you, before she existed herself and her mama and her grandmama, God chose His people before the foundation of the world. That means that your salvation is not based on any merit in yourself. Why does God love me? Why did God choose me? Those are good questions, aren't they? You see, for the true believer, we are amazed when we think of those questions because we know that we have done everything to that should cause God to not love us and to not want us. The unbelieving world is not impressed by God's love. They just assume it. Of course God loves me. Why wouldn't He? Right? The believer sounds like David in that psalm that we kicked off reading this morning. It recognizes that I am a sinner and that I deserve whatever judgment God would put upon me. And then it looks in amazement at the love of God displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we sang a minute ago, leaves us standing in awe of Him. Why does God love you? He loves you because He loves you. He doesn't love you because you're awesome. He doesn't love you because you have done this or that. On the flip side of that, He won't quit loving you because you've done this or that either. He loves you because He loves you. Why did He choose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world? Because He wanted to. We are chosen by grace. I got to get my glasses back out because I just put them in my pocket and now I can't see. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. And so He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, and His divine goal for us is that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Of course, God knew what we would become. He knew that we would mess this thing up, and we most certainly did. When David cried out in that psalm I read a few moments ago, when he cried out, in sin did my mother conceive me. He was confessing that He came into this world born a true son of Adam. He entered into this world a sinner. But God has purposed in eternity past to make a people for Himself that are holy and blameless before Him. How does He do that? He does that in the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on Calvary's cross. And so we're chosen by His grace. The second thing I want us to see is that we are adopted by His grace. He continued in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It's fun watching Baptists who, in our one, who are kind of not in favor of this type of language that puts God in complete control, do gymnastics around these terms. Terms like chose us. I feel like I chose God though. Right? And then there's this term predestined. We don't like that word. Because again, where does it put the control? Puts it in God's hand. In love, He predestined us for adoption. You know what that word predestined means? Predestined. It means destined pre. Destined beforehand. Something that God did in love. He predestined us, the people that He chose before the foundation of the world. He predestined us for adoption. Now that's saying something about us, isn't it? It's saying that we are a people that need to be adopted. It is saying that we, a people who have sinned against God, who are enemies of God, are indeed spiritual orphans in this world without a father. Without a true family. And God, in eternity past, determined that He would not leave us orphaned. That He would claim us out of the world as His own people. And adopt us by His grace. So that we might call God our Father. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Listen to what Paul wrote beginning in verse 12. Romans 8, verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified in Him. And so God chose us in eternity past, predestined us for adoption as His sons, so that when we respond to the Spirit's call in our heart to come to Jesus and be saved, in that moment of salvation, we become children of God. God Himself, our Father. Adopted into a family so that we at church, right, call one another brothers and sisters in Christ. Chosen by grace. Adopted by grace. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the beloved. The third thing I want you to see is that we are redeemed by His grace. Verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will. Do Jesus came into this world. Yeah, it's amazing. You ask people, why did Jesus come into this world and what did he do? And, you know, people always get around to, well, he eventually died on the cross. There's just no understanding of the fact that he came because we were in trouble. We were enslaved to sin and destined for destruction. We're in a predicament where we could not do anything to remedy the predicament that we were in. And so Christ came and lived the life that we have failed to live. He obeyed the law of God in absolute perfection, something that we couldn't even do this morning as we were getting ready for church, right? We were running late this morning. And normally for me, that I can get away with that, like, because I don't have anything going on in that hour. This morning I was teaching Sunday school too, so I was late for that, you know. I even had a text message asking me, did I forget that I was teaching Sunday school today? I hadn't forgotten. It's just at my house, we had a problem with the keys. Someone had taken the keys from the key box. And when they got done with them, they didn't put them back. That doesn't happen at your house ever, does it? So we got ready to go. We're already running late. I go to the key box. And there's no, the keys aren't there. And then you go, where are the keys? And miraculously, nobody had them. Not only did they not have them on their person, they didn't have them anyway. The keys got up and walked out of the box on their own. Tension began to rise in the home. Right? And this is what I told the Sunday school class. We prayerfully got here this morning without an incident, right? There's plenty of opportunity for the flesh. Why? Because we're sinners. I wouldn't trust my best 15 minutes of life to get me into heaven. Because it's tainted with sin. We're sinners in need of redemption. Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life as our representative. Then he went to the cross, where on the cross he paid the redemption price with his own blood. So that when we come to him in faith, the shackles of sin are removed, and we are completely forgiven and washed whiter than snow. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you from sin. The forgiveness of our trespasses. If you're sitting there this morning and you're wondering if Jesus forgave you of all of your sin when you came to him, listen to me. He didn't just forgive you of some and then let some stay. You say, well, what about that time I did this? What about that time I did that? What about that time I went to the abortion clinic? What about that time I stole this? Whatever that thing is that you are wondering about, you have convinced yourself that that thing is greater than his forgiveness. And I'm here to tell you today that it is not. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. We were talking about that word according to in Sunday school this morning because David cries out to God, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. According to your wonderful mercy." It's according to God is forgiving you. He's washing you of your sins according to the purpose of his will. Or rather, according to the riches of his grace. What does that look like? Well, God's grace is infinite. If God forgives you, if he gives you grace according to the measure of his grace, he's given it to you according to the measure of his infinite grace. It is implied there that there is no sin greater than the grace of God. It's according to the riches of his grace, verse 8, which he lavished upon us. Now he's just lavishing us with this grace as he has redeemed us, lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ Jesus as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Chosen by grace, adopted by grace, redeemed by grace, and we have an inheritance by grace. Look at verse 11. Forgot my notes, forgot my water. In him, by the way, I know I've said this before, but it's just such a good word. That phrase is so important to Paul. Because he recognizes that apart from him, none of this is possible. And so if you just go through the writings of Paul, just go through Ephesians. Let that be your start. And just look for all the places where Paul uses this phrase, in him. Thank you. Or in Christ. Right? In whom? Where he's referring to Christ. Over and over again, Paul understands that none of this is possible apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no possible way we can be forgiven. There's no possible way we can be adopted. We are doomed apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only have we been chosen, not only have we been adopted, not only have we been redeemed, we have become full heirs in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul says in verse 11, in him we have a obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Paul spoke of that back in Romans 8 when he said, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That means that everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us in him. It's a promise that we will make it home to heaven. It's a promise that God will see us all the way there. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to say that you're saved today and then tomorrow go, you know what? Never mind. When Christy and I were first saved, we had this really sweet Sunday school teacher. Her name was Miss Joy Oswalt. I've told you a story about Miss Joy before, just by way of reminder. Miss Joy was asked by the nominating committee of that church to teach Sunday school. She's young adults. That was her role. And every week she prepared a lesson for that class, and every week she sat there by herself. Nobody ever came. Every week she studied, and every week she sat there and prayed. And then God saved me and Christy, and we became her students. That was the class. Miss Joy Oswalt, the elderly lady, and me and Christy. We didn't know we were supposed to have all that other stuff. We were just, you know, newly saved. We didn't know that you're supposed to be entertained at church and all that stuff. And I'm glad we didn't learn that. And that lady sat there and taught us week after week after week. She was faithful in what she did. And I'll never forget her kindness to us. How could this young couple and this old lady be friends? It made no sense. Until you insert the fact that we were all in Him. That He saved us. And He has given us an inheritance. And He's going to see us all the way home. But let me tell you about her mama. Her mama, bless her heart. You know I'm fixing to gossip. Not really. I'm just going to tell you. I feel sorry for her. She believed that she could lose her salvation. So this poor lady lived through life like this. I'm saved right now, but about 10 minutes from now, I might be lost again. So she was constantly praying to get saved again and again and again and again and again. I mean, what happens if you lose it and then drop dead of a heart attack? I mean, you just went straight to hell, right? What a miserable way to view the salvation of our Lord. He says that He gives us eternal life and we will never perish. This is what Paul is promising here, that we're going to make it all the way home, because in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of His will, according to the counsel of His will, that so that we who were the first to hope in Christ Jesus might be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth. He's talking to you now. Christian, listen to this. Paul is adding us into this equation. He said, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth. I don't know where you were at, but there was a moment in your life where maybe you had been to church your whole life. You had heard the gospel 1,000 times, but you had never really heard it. Until the Spirit of God opened up your heart. And in that moment, you heard the word of truth. He says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in Him, you were sealed. Sealed. Mine, God said. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Watch it. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God is the guarantee that you will make it all the way home, that you will acquire the inheritance that is ours. And it will all result in the praise of His glory, so that heaven will never be filled with a people who deserve to be there, nor a people who think they deserve to be there. It will be filled with a people who are eternally grateful because they are eternally aware that they deserve to be elsewhere. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Perhaps you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As we have been making it a theme, rather unintentionally, on our part, but certainly on God's through this service, to remind you that His grace is greater than all our sin. You have not out-sinned the grace of God. He will save you if you will come to Him by faith. If you will cry out where you are that you are a sinner and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there something that's been weighty on your heart? Some guilt that you've been holding on to that is truly unnecessary? Lay that down at the feet of Jesus. Don't put shackles back on yourself that the Lord Himself has broken. You walk in the freedom that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has forgiven you completely. Lord, we love You. You are good. You are God. Thank You for this time together. It is in Your name that we pray. Amen.